Another morning, it's a special morning. The only difference is that I'm standing in a pool of water. And this is a special moment in the life of this church. If you're just attending here for the first time, we don't do this every Sunday. But it is a repeated ordinance, we call it, in the life of this church. And we always rejoice together, like we do this morning, only a different way. Each morning. Today, just like first, is going to be just a little bit different. I will baptize a candidate, and then Pastor Jeremy likely will baptize a candidate in the water. And you see, it's a little bit different. I think this is a first at first again. I love it. Always something new. Keeps you on your toes, and me too. You children, you got some interesting items in which to fold with your parents or adult, whoever brought you. And do you guys have, once you fold it, how are you doing with the folding, by the way? How's it going, Caleb? What are you folding? How's he doing? What do you got there? Oh, interesting. What is it? It's a what? It looks like a boat. Where do boats go? They go in the water. That's where I am right now. There's no boats here, but I wish there was. But those are to remind you of just the messages that God gives us that fills us up when we hear the Word of God and how God teaches us. And today, as you listen, as you watch, as you learn, you draw pictures on your foldings there. Of the things that you see, how it makes you feel, okay? And then after the service, Mandy is going to be probably at the back, and you can visit her there, and you'll have a chance, she'll give you something, you'll have a chance to fill your cup up with something very special with what you're doing, okay? Now, all you adults, you don't go see Mandy, you see me, okay? We assemble today in the name of Jesus Christ, and we come to these waters with the words of Romans chapter 6. Says this, and I'm going to read from the message. So what do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life, in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus Christ means. When we're lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we're raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace sovereign country. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did for you. Love that. Dead to sin, alive to God. Say, I am dead to sin. I'm alive to God. Wow. That's powerful. Those are powerful words. You're about to hear each candidate proclaim their love for God and how Jesus Christ has changed their life. This is an ordinance of the New Testament ordained by Jesus Christ. It's a visible sign of fellowship with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. During this celebration, please place your attention on God. Give him the glory that he deserves because he is the one who changes lives. If you'll note, there's a candle that's been lit here, which has been lit from the beginning of this service. This candle reminds us of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. He is with us at all times. That's what that light is to represent. After you see each candidate arise out of the water, an individual who's been of spiritual help in their journey of faith will come and light a candle to indicate the movement from darkness into light for the candidate, Christ being the light. Symbolically, we are saying a new light for Christ has begun. When the candidate rises from the water, we will sing a verse of their favorite song. So we would ask you that you look at the screen or else listen intensely and join the voices of the angels rejoicing in heaven today. What a special day, another special day for us as a church to gather together and glorify God through these waters. Let us come with reverence. Let us sincerely worship God through this experience. And let us rejoice along with the heavens as each candidate follows Christ's example through these baptismal waters. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we call upon you this morning for your protection. We know, Lord, that, and we recognize that we need that. Even with all the little happenings already this morning, God, we know that we need your protection. As we celebrate the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, we realize and recognize that you are Lord of our life and that you're Lord of this church. God, may nothing take us away from that lordship. This is a very exciting celebration in the life of this church, and we realize that the devil himself angers easily over such times. We give you praise. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who is buried, who rose on the third day. May your thoughts be our thoughts, Lord. We pray, Lord, for those walking through these waters. Keep them strong in faith, ever steadfast in hope, abounding in love. Bestow on them the many gifts of your loving grace, that they may serve you authentically, that you may be Lord of their life always. Protect us, Lord, as we glorify you through these waters. Through the power and the glory of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Neil, it's chilly in here. No, it's very warm. Where's the extra ice? No, kind of cozy. You could stay in here forever. Neil, you have shared your faith with persons of this body of believers. On that basis, we are prepared to proceed with your baptism. However, so that your faith and integrity of purpose may appear to all, would you share briefly with your congregation, with this congregation, your experience of Jesus Christ? It might help. Do you want my glasses? Okay, sure.
One of my favorite verses is 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. I was born into a Christian family in July of 1939, attended Sunday school when I was a child, went to young people's in my teens, and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ before I was married, and our family attended church regularly and appreciated being part of a Christian church family.
And Neil, I have a few questions for you. Yeah. No, you can just...
Okay, don't need to read those.
You don't need to read them. I need to read them. Do you confess to repentance toward God and to the profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Oh, sorry. Oh, that was quick. That was great. You were right there. Is it to the best of your knowledge your earnest desire to follow Christ in death to self and to walk with him in newness of life?
I do.
Do you promise in dependence upon the Word of God and the Spirit of God to follow Christ and to serve him forever in the fellowship and mission of his church?
I do.
Caesar.
Yeah.
Use that. Come forward a little bit. Grab tight. Kneel upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is great. It feels so good, doesn't it?
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Doris. That was a song that Neil had requested, one of his favorite songs. Now, just at the risk of showing your age, how many of you knew that song well? Okay. That was my first time hearing it. Thank you. Now, I'm certain you're going to know the next song. Could you stand together and sing, "Nothing But the Blood"? What can wash away my sin? Not the waters of baptism, but the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we thank the Lord for his sin.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. The blood of Jesus, nothing but the blood of Jesus. but the blood of Jesus.
Allow your heart to reflect what those words are saying. Jesus, you are Lord to me. We'll just take a moment. Stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have written. Search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, and it's all about you. About you, Jesus. Well, when the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're lurking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of
about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made, and it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Amen. Please be seated.
You hear me? Test. I have to use this. My battery's dead, and I didn't have this with me in the water, so that's not the effect of the water. Well, if you notice up front, here first we need to acknowledge that Jeff didn't arrive today, Jeff Pritchard. So we will keep praying for him, and he had other things for today, so that's okay. But I want to also acknowledge that this moment in time where we celebrate the waters of baptism is a time where the enemy actually plays on everything. And even the sound system. And even the PowerPoints and all little things. And you know, but praise God, he is a God of victory. Amen? Yeah. So good. It's so good. You know, I want to ask you a question. As we celebrated today, as you observe this, did you recall maybe something in your own life, in your own past, where you walked through the baptism waters, and you were thinking what a great day that was for you, what a special day that was for you. Maybe for some of you, that was a difficult day because maybe there was stuff going on, a battle happening. And that's okay, because your faith was strengthened through that. Some of you, maybe even now, you saw this and you felt the tug. And you said, I want to do that. I want to walk through those waters. I want to walk in obedience to God. And that's really what that is walking in obedience to Him. I mentioned that there's a lot of symbolism around a baptism, and there is, but this candle, the candle symbolism creates within us a desire to share our experience of Christ with others. And just as Neil was baptized, there was many people speaking into his life, praying for him, and demonstrating Christ to him, which brought him to this place today. And I wish you could have seen... The guys who work in the back, they want to keep serving back there because they love going back there and watching the candidates come out. Neil was laughing. I mean, he was so excited. And you know that experience, many of you, because you've walked through the same thing. He was elated. And he stood and listened as Doris sang. And, you know, and to just watch him so excited and thrilled. And we all discussed that this must just be what heaven's going to be like. Amen? So exciting. Well, we as Christians, we need to be like these candles. We need to softly emit the light and the heat. And if you look at these candles, if this room was completely pitch black, those candles just still give off enough light that you'd see them. And that's how it is with God. I mean, even when we go through our darkest moments, when we think he's not there, his love shines through. So these candles give a picture of commitment. They present to us the reality that our walk with God is such a powerful, life-giving tool that others need to see. People need to see that Jesus Christ is Lord in your life. People need to see that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is he Lord? You need to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. In my life. Ah. There's a candle here that needs to be lit. That candle's for you. Maybe you realize today the need to just commit yourself fully to following Christ. And maybe you need to follow Christ's example, become, walk through these waters, as you heard this morning. But maybe there's somebody that you need to touch in some way, somebody that you need to speak into their life about who Christ really is. Don't deprive this candle being lit. Rejoice and celebrate. Worship the light that has entered this world and gave us the supreme example. Let your heart burn with the fire of God's love, and let that fire spread. To him be the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen.
At this time, we're going to gather together the Lord's offering. And generally, after Pastor Devin's up here, we think the service is done when he says amen and leaves. But we're still going to gather an offering. I've got a little bit to share with you this morning, a mini message, and our closing song. So, ushers, if you'd come, and the drama team is here today, and we're going to have a good time. Let's pray for this morning's offering. Father, we come before you this morning and recognize that you are Lord of our lives. And Father, we just want to publicly thank you for Neil being able to go through these waters of baptism today. Thank you for bringing him to that place in his life. We pray for our friend Jeff, who just wasn't able to do this today. And we trust that you just continue to bring him along. He's just got such a great love for you and great attitude. And I've really grown to love the guy. And I just pray, Lord, that your blessing would be on him this morning. And that we just trust, Lord, that you've got the perfect week in mind. And so now, Lord, as we gather this offering, we trust that this is exactly what we need to do before you, and pray that you'd receive it into yourself. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Shining over the valley, joining the song of the river to the great giver of the great good. As it unfolds me, somehow it holds me together, and I realize I've been singing. Still it comes ringing, clearer than clear. Here by the water, I'll build an altar to praise him. Out of the stones that I found here, I'll set them down here, rough as they are.
And we are live in 5, 4, 3.
We are live here at the Evangelist News Network. We have a new grand total, a total of $12, and a beautiful painting donated by Da Vinci himself, the Mona Rev Dev. We're growing closer, children, to 12 o'clock p.m. If we don't raise $1 million by then, God will call me home. Really?
Yeah. The last thing he wanted was
Give them a hand. Short and sweet, to the point. Sometimes we think that we've got it all together. Have you ever gotten to that place where you're kind of like, yeah, I'm feeling a bit like I've arrived? Sometimes we think that even if we don't have it together, at least we've got it a little bit more together than that guy in the front row. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, Pastor Dev. We always have to pick on Pastor Dev. Okay? And sometimes we think that maybe we just don't have it all together, and maybe we're kind of unable to be used by God. I'm here to tell you this morning that that's not quite the case. I'm going to paint a bit of a picture in just a brief message to show you how God values you. It reminds me of that joke. I know many of you have probably heard it, but it's that story of the guy who passes away. He's a devout Christian, a good Baptist, Canadian Baptist of Western Canada, in fact. Okay, and he dies, and he goes up to heaven, and he's getting the tour, and they go past the one room and say, hey, there's the Pentecostals. Of course, you recognize them like this, right? They praise the Lord with their hands up, and go over here to the church I was raised in. There's the Canadian Reformers, okay? And they're, yeah, they're there. Okay, and that's why I'm Baptist today. And they move along, and they're going through and seeing all these rooms, and then they say, oh, be very quiet as you pass by this door. And then they get past the door, and he says, why did we have to be so quiet there? And he says, oh, because that's the Mennonite Brethren. They think they're the only one up here. Okay? You've heard that before? Okay. How many of you love MBs? I was baptized in a Mennonite Brethren church, and I used to worship in a Pentecostal church too, so that's why I can pick on all of that. Okay? Now, Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. Be careful, Jesus says to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And of course, we don't have time to pick this all apart and explain it all, but when Jesus is talking about yeast in the scriptures, he's often referring to sin. Okay, and he's referring to the sin in their lives. Luke chapter 16, verse 14. It says, the Pharisees who loved money heard all of this and were sneering at Jesus. And he said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. And so often we find ourselves, we're trying to get everything together, and we end up chasing after things that really have nothing to do with God at all. And sometimes God has to wake us up and show us that. And I hope you've caught on to this now that none of us have arrived. We're on a spiritual journey. We talk about a spiritual journey because we're all on this progression, this journey. Some are just starting out. Guys, you're on a journey, right? You're just starting out in your program. Well, God's going to do all sorts of crazy things in your life in the next 12 months. How many of you are on a spiritual journey and you sense that you're progressing somewhere with God? Okay? None of us have arrived. I'm no better than you. But however, if I've accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord, the covering of Christ is upon me, and he looks at me and says, you are my child. If you were to die today, you'll be with me. Okay? But we're all on a journey. We often chase after those things that really don't have a whole lot of value at all, and we think they're so incredible. And yet, we need to follow after Christ and chase after him. Have you ever met somebody who just oozes Jesus? I know it sounds weird, eh? But you come there and you hang out with them, and there's just something. You go away feeling like, ah, they were glowing. You ever get that sense? You know what I mean? Where they're so inviting, and they've got so much joy. I kind of want my life to be that way. Okay? But I think I might be too Dutch for that to really happen. Okay? No. I believe that God can work that into us. That as we spend our time and we fellowship with Christ, that he becomes such a part of us that the people can see Christ at work in us. And I know there's many of you who are like that already. Okay? Today,
We need to boast in Christ. We need to stop boasting about the things of life, those things that have no value, but to boast in Christ. The scriptures say, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. May I boast in Christ." See, you are valuable in the eyes of God. We talked about this at youth group on Friday, okay? We sent out the youth with a paperclip. And before they went out to hit the streets of Prince Albert, we said, "Do you think that this paperclip is worth anything?" And they're like, "Eh, it's just a paperclip." I said, no, this is a very, very valuable tool. You're going to see, okay? And in the same way, God looks at you, little paperclip, and he says, "No, this can be worth something incredible if you'll just stay on the journey with me." Okay, so we sent out the youth to play a game called Bigger and Better. Have you ever heard of it? Yeah. So they went out with a paperclip, and they knocked on the door and said, "Hey, we have this. Would you like it? I'll trade it for something that's bigger and better." And within, what, four homes? Something like that? This group of girls here come out with an original Glenn Scrimshaw authenticated painting. Four homes. Because they saw the value in the paperclip, and then in the frog that they were given, and then the other things as they went up. By the end of the night, we came home, we had two little Buddhist Chinamen that we threw in the garbage. We had a Glenn Scrimshaw painting. We had a skateboard with no wheels. That is valuable stuff. We had a toilet. Yes, I will dispose of that toilet. Yes, I knew that was coming. I will haul that away. Okay. There was quite the collection. Oh, yes, and a cooler that you plug in so that it keeps your meat cold at the lake. Isn't that great? All from four paperclips. And God looks at you and says, "You're a paperclip in my hands. And if you stay on the journey with me, I'm going to keep trading that old junk, and I'm going to keep trading up until you're really mine, and you have value in my eyes." 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 says, "Your boasting is no good." And then it goes on to talk about that yeast again. "Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough?" And it says, "Get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast as you really are." And this is the passage that was said at Passover. "For Christ, the Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." And there's a fantastic little phrase in there. It says, "as you really are." And it absolutely changes the way that you look at the passage. Because you're looking at this and he's saying, "Get rid of that yeast. Get rid of that sin that's in your life." And you're thinking, "Yeah, it's there." And he says, "No, so that you'll be a new batch without yeast, without sin, as you really are." I looked at that and said, "What's this mean?" Well, it says Christ, the Passover lamb, was already crucified. He has already paid the price of every one of those sins. So start to live as you really are, without sin, through the blood of Christ. Yes, we still sin. Yes, we still mess up. But we need to start to live as we really are, as you really are, as a child of the Passover lamb, Christ, who died for us. We can start to live like that. See, we need to be prepared. You may disagree with me on this point. I believe that God has a calling and a purpose for every believer who's following after him. Okay? Yes, you may be in ministry, Pastor Dev. You may be a computer technician. You may be whatever role it is, but I believe that God has a plan and a purpose and specifically a calling for you. A part of your journey where you're supposed to line up with God's plan and God is supposed to say, "Yes, I'm going to trade in that old junk. And we're going to send you this way." He has a good, a pleasing, and a perfect will, and he wants you to be a part of that. And you've got to be prepared for it. Okay, I'd love to ask for a show of hands. Maybe send me an email, rather, just so you don't be embarrassed. But I'd like to know how many of you would actually say, "Yes, I have a sense of calling. I have a sense of purpose. I know where God wants me to go." Okay, we're all on a journey. I'm suggesting that we all need to have that sense at some point. Okay, now, my journey has been baffling lately, and you know my journey. Catherine's been very ill. We've been hospital visits and having to resign here at FBC and not knowing why. Okay, well, yes, we know we need to get close to the family so they can help support us, but there's always been this sense that why do we have to give up this ministry here that we love so desperately? And God has a sense of calling upon our lives that we never knew about. And so I got an email the other day. But before we talk about that, like, you ever get the sense that I need to do this today, and this is the plan, and I'm going to do it, and then your wife calls? Sorry. Then your husband calls? Okay. sometimes our plans are not exactly the way we expect them. We're going to invite the drama team to come up one more. Give us one more little segment. This is going to be Peter from the Scriptures. This is Peter's wife. It's a phone conversation. Let's hear it.
And after the rooster crowed, Peter went out of the city to weep, where he got a phone call from his wife.
Peter, it's Misty. You remember Misty, your wife? Are you ever coming home? What do you mean he got arrested? Huh, whatever. You'd better just stay out of it. If they ask you, just deny everything. Huh? 3 times? What do you mean? Well, forget it. Good for you, Peter. What do you mean? You sound like you think this is important or something. And you'd rather leave me here with the kids and this mortgage so that you can go and die with your buddy Jesus. Fine, go grieve for him. But when you're done, can you stop by the store? We need milk, eggs, and bread. The kids need juice boxes for their lunches, and we're out of chicken. Oh, quit being so dramatic.
So sometimes we think we have it all mapped out. We've got a plan. And then, one word, kids. Anybody have small kids and things and life and also computers crashing? Things just get in the way sometimes of what we think is a sense of calling. And yet we need to remain faithful and true and discover where we sit in that journey and discover what God's calling is in our lives. Now, we need to be prepared. I wasn't prepared. I've been down and out. I've been crying a fair bit, saying, God, I still don't want to leave. Poor Catherine, she'll be like, what's wrong? I'm like, I don't want to move. The realtor sitting across the table from me says, so are you ready to sign? I said, no, I don't actually want to sell. That's how much I was wrestling. And then I got a phone call last Friday saying, can you be in Rwanda May 27th? Pardon? Yeah, can you be on a plane to Rwanda May 27th? Because we want you to see exactly what God is doing. In fact, 32 people are going to be mobilized from across North America. Well, actually all from the States, and we'd love it if one Canadian could come with and see what God's doing, because by the end of this really evangelistic campaign, we're probably going to plant between 10 and 13 churches with the missionaries who are going to be on the ground. Wow. Okay. And so I'm getting on a plane May 27th, and the church has given me their blessing. I'm going to go with E3 Partners. Okay, check that out on the internet. And just as a hint, this is a bit of a training trip, because God just may be raising up a new ministry for us to be a part of in the future. And we need to go see what God's doing in Rwanda. And then we'll see other stories and hear other stories of what he's doing in 130 other countries around the world. And so here's a little video that they sent, just so that you can get a little sense for what's going on. I'm going to ask for you to pray. Obviously, with a week and a half's notice, we didn't have time to gather support together. And if you want to talk about that, we can talk about it. But I'm going to specifically be looking for a team, I don't know, eight to a dozen people who will pray daily with us. So if you could, if that's something that you're burdened for, let me know after the service and we'll get some prayer stuff going on. Okay? Are we ready to go? Thank you. How beautiful is the body of Christ? And every one of us is on that journey. And we together make up the body of Christ. And so I dare you, I challenge you, go out and find that passion. Find out what God's got in store for you. Take a risk.